In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. Heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of my sins. O merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We speak responsibly the words of the introit. Heaven and earth will pass away. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. Yet the Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your coming, your going out and your coming in.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Heaven and earth will pass away. Earth will not pass away.
Have mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us, Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee, we glorify Thee, and we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us, for Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord, Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, our Most High, in the glory of God the Father. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, Almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may live and abide forever in your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament lesson for this morning is taken from the prophet Malachi, the fourth chapter. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of our Lord. The epistle lesson for this Sunday is taken from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, the third chapter. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked day and night, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of our Lord. Yes, please rise out of respect for the words and deeds of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I guess I forgot to do the gradual. Oh, well. Okay, sorry about that. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, is at the 21st chapter. This is also...
Be to thee, O Lord.
This is also the words of our meditation this morning. While some were speaking of the temple, how adorned it was with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the cities depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it, for these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and all the earth, distress of nations in perplexity, because the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Having heard these words of the gospel, we confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated to sing the sermon hymn. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, the rock, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before service started, I heard people talking about one of my favorite subjects, food, cooking and everything. And of course, why would people be talking about food, at least in my mind? Because, of course, a great and wonderful day is coming up called Thanksgiving, one of my favorite days of the year for obvious reasons. But here in the church, this time of year is what's called the end of the church year. As Lutherans, we go through, we have colors, these colors, and I don't know, sometimes we don't always do a good enough job of teaching people what they mean, and I'm not going to teach you what the colors mean today, but, one thing is the church year. There is a cycle to it. It starts in Advent, which is a couple weeks. We know what Advent is, don't we? What? What is Advent? Yeah, it basically represents that entire time when people were waiting for the Christ. Okay, so that's great. So this, but at the end is, again, the end of time. So these last 2 weeks before Advent and the start of the new church year, we deal with the end. Whenever there's a beginning, something else has to end. That is just kind of the nature of how things go. So we're talking about the end. All three passages deal with the end. And before I really cut into it, sometimes when we have these readings, if you don't know the Bible really well, you may not have any idea what the world is being talked about. So I just wanted to give up, since all three readings regard the end, they're all focused on the same thing, they're all going to be relevant for the text in some way or another, I'm just going to touch real quick, give a little context. Like in the Old Testament lesson, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day." Elijah already had existed. He was one of the few people that didn't ever die. He got taken up in a chariot of fire. That's, maybe you've even heard of chariots of fire. It was a song and a movie, whatever. He was the one that rode the chariot of fire up to heaven. But anyway, so he was already gone. But when it talks about Elijah, that's John the Baptist. Jesus even says, John the Baptist is Elijah who is to come. So it's basically Jesus coming into this world is part of what starts this day of the Lord, part of what starts the end. He's kind of the beginning of the end. When he comes, and when Jesus leaves this world, when he's ascended, that's when what's called the end times begins. All right, that'll get to that. So that's the Old Testament. The epistle, when Paul's talking about, even says in the bulletin, warnings against idleness. It says, that's kind of random. No, it's not. What does that have to do with the end? Because these people in Thessalonica, that's the Thessalonians, had heard about Jesus coming again, they're kind of like, oh, Jesus is coming again. Well, I don't need to work or anything. He's coming, so I'm just going to kind of sit around and wait. They kind of sit like the people who'd sit on the roofs and wait for Jesus to come type of thing. And so anyway, that's what he's telling these people. Okay, yes, Jesus is coming. And the book, the two letters of the Thessalonians deal a lot with the end times, but he's basically telling them, Jesus is coming, but don't sit around and wait for it. Serve God, work, do the things God has called you to do. So that's what that's all about. And then, yes, the whole test, the gospel lesson. One thing to kind of pick up out there is the use of words sometimes, because it talks about, Jesus says somewhere, not one hair of your head will perish. And that's kind of like, wait a minute, you just said people are going to die. How would they not perish? And that, because we use those words interchangeably, to die, to perish. But, in the Bible, to die just basically means you're being taken from this life to the next. To perish is a much stronger word. That means to be lost eternally. So, yes, all 11 of the 12 apostles died, all 12 died, even John, but 12 of them died of persecution, but none of them perished. They are all with God. And that's also true. It's important to us, for our loved ones and ourselves. We will die, but we will not perish. Those are two big different things. All right, so end times. Some people are very fascinated by the end times. Some people don't care much at all about talking about them. When I was confirmed in eighth grade, my grandparents, my very wonderful, godly grandparents, gave me a Bible. So they gave me a teenager Bible type of thing, very easy language. What book of the Bible do you think I went to first? Like a beeline. What do you think? Exactly. Now somebody, if they knew the Bible, was like, Song of Solomon. I don't know if you know much about Song of Solomon. Anyway, among the Jews, you had to be 30 years old to read Song of Solomon, and then there's a couple other books. It was kind of like not PG-13, but PG-30, because it deals with romance. So anyway, I won't say anything more. You can look at Song of Solomon someday. But anyway, I went to Revelations, exactly. As a teenage boy, man, you know, frogs coming out of people's mouths, dragon. I mean, this is like a movie. It's like a comic book. I mean, I must have read it like 5 times, you know, right after I got the Bible. I did eventually go on to other stuff. But I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, that's it. And some people, that fascination is there. The church I served, one of the ladies there, and I say her husband's nice. He didn't go to church, but he would watch the preachers that talked about end times. And in the 90s, that's back when this was, I could have given you the names, and you may have even heard of some of them, but I can't remember, and you might not either. But anyway, but that's what he was interested in. Oh, come to church and hear about Jesus, but the end of the world, yeah, you know, and this, you know, Russia's doing this, and that means something in the book of Revelation, and this is in the book of Daniel, and some people really get into all that kind of stuff. One of my wife's cousins, he's a dear Christian man. But there was a time period, yeah, it's probably about this, a little bit later than that, but around down the year 2000, where she's saying, oh gosh, Cousin Robert, he's you know, watching these TV, he actually went to church, but he's watching these TV preachers, and he's always saying, oh, you know, when this happens, you know, and whatever it was back in the 90s or 2000s, this means, oh, it relates, you know, so he's always, you know, is doing all that kind of stuff too. You know, so some people really get focused on all this sort of stuff. You know, you may have even, see, it used to be in the comics. I don't know. You know, that somebody, you'd had this old man holding a sign that said, "The end is near," and usually that's kind of a joke, whatever the reason is. And some people kind of think of it that way as being a joke. Some people make predictions. That was kind of my welcome to Texas back in the year 2011. And you probably don't even remember because these things come and go so much. But we were driving. This would have been like March or April 2011. We were driving in from I-10 from New Orleans, and there's this big billboard, May 2011, there was even a date, 24th or 25th of May or whatever, some very specific day, maybe a bit of time. I mean, if you're going to get so specific, why stop at a day? Just go right over the hour, you know, Christ is coming again. Somebody, and I'm sure that was not the only billboard that said that. Somebody spent some big bucks making this prediction that Jesus was coming again. Did that happen? What do you think? We're still here. Whoa, we got left behind. Don't even get me started on all those books. Anyway, so people make these kind of predictions. So is there much point then? You know, it kind of becomes a joke. Is there even much point then to worrying or paying attention to the end times? Now, should we worry about it? No, sometimes people do. We should not worry about it, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But we should pay attention to it because Jesus himself talks about it. Now, if you look at the entire Gospels and everything, he doesn't spend 50% of the time talking about it, but it does be brought up. And so it is good for us, as we're doing today, to pay some attention to it. At the end of the church year, we look at and listen to what Jesus had to say to his disciples, who are also us. He's got a message for us. So, the first question that people always want to know when it comes to, when's it going to be? When's it going to be? So, do you think it's going to be soon or not soon? I can take a poll. I went to a conference, and now everybody's got these things, and you can get on your phone, there's an app, and you can vote on stuff, and they put a, it comes up on the board. So, if we were a high-tech church, you could do that. 50% think it's going to be whatever. So, is it going to be soon or not? Does it seem closer than earlier in your life? Yeah, in my life, it's obviously at least 50-some years closer because I'm 57 years old. So, yeah, it's not getting further away. It's getting closer. I promised myself I wouldn't make any election or political jokes, but after the election on Wednesday, I thought about 15 to 20 years earlier than I thought, but based on things. But anyway, that's more of a joke than anything because we don't worry about stuff like that. And I even told a joke about the election before, and if you want to hear it, you can ask me after church. all right, so yes, so various people. So I mentioned one group. I don't know who it was. I don't, you know, who it was to put all these signs up. You know, various people have made predictions. You know, over that. Were they right? No, obviously not. That's another internet thing you could do. You could probably look up and it's, you know, okay, this church, I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses, who are not Christians, they've done at least two or three times and been wrong. So other people also. But yeah, you know, even St. Paul and Martin Luther thought in their days it was going to be soon. You know, they thought it was going to be soon. Were they wrong? Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, but this way, they did not make predictions. They didn't say, but they just saw things going on and said, oh, certainly the return of Christ. I mean, you think St. Paul's wrong? He wrote the Bible. You know, he wasn't wrong in the sense of it's near. You know, even though that's 2,000 years since the time of, roughly, since the time of St. Paul, that doesn't seem, but that's the point that Jesus is making, and it is near. Since he's gone up to heaven, it's near. Even though to us 2,000 years does not seem near. As a matter of fact, you even had some clowns or cynics at St. Peter's time, which this would have been like 20 years after Jesus ascended, who were kind of going, well, he ain't back yet. Guess that ain't happening. You know, the kind of the critics, the cynics, and Peter says, you know, do you remember the answer that Peter gave? It's a pretty simple one. A day is like 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is like a day. God's time schedule, you know, when he says this is the end times and I will come soon, you know, we may think that's got to be in 20 minutes or it's not soon. You know, kids especially, if it's not 5 minutes, it's not soon. But that's not God's timing. God has his own timing. And so, you know, people make these predictions, you know, and while I will not say that Paul or Luther were wrong, their general feeling was accurate that, yeah, you were always near. We don't know exactly when it's going to be. But all these other people who are making definite, this is the day that it's going to be predictions, well, no, they're definitely wrong. Because here's the thing. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus himself says, no one, you know, he emphasizes the thief in the night. I even have a t-shirt, a Christian t-shirt about the thief in the night. It's one of those fear not things from back in the 90s. But anyway, the thief in the night, he emphasizes, you know, it's soon. You don't know when it's going to be, but it could show up at any time, like the thief in the night. And so Jesus says, even the Son of Man, that's himself, even Jesus himself doesn't even know when he's coming back. He doesn't know. Only the Father. Now that's a bit of a weird thing. Well, Jesus knows everything. How could he not know the day he's coming back? That doesn't, you know. But that's between him and his dad, basically. That's the thing. And that whole thing goes back, and then a lot of things go back to the Jewish wedding, the way the customs back then. Back in those days, very different than how we do things today. When a Jewish guy wouldn't get it married, and he had somebody that was willing to marry him. Then he would go to his dad and say, okay, I want to get married. And his dad says, okay. And back in those days, families lived together. All right? So when the boy wants to get married and he's got somebody lined up, he's got to build on to the house. All right? So he does that. He starts working on it. And the whole idea, and this would drive brides crazy these days, is you don't know when it's going to be. The dad decides when it's time. You know, the son doesn't know. He just keeps laboring away, and he's happy because he's going to be getting married, and he doesn't know any better. Anyway, no. I couldn't resist. I'm very weak sometimes. Anyway, so he's building away, and he doesn't know. And that feeds in. There's a lot of things, like the story of the bridesmaids, the wise and the foolish, because people didn't know what day it was going to be. You know, wedding planners would go crazy. You don't even know what day you're getting married. You know, but and of course, back then, wedding celebrations lasted an entire week. The whole Jesus turning water into wine, that was like a couple days into the day they ran out of wine. It's just a different world. So anyway, so he's waiting. And all of a sudden, he's working away. And he said, God, I've got to be done now, you know. And he's all of a sudden, that's okay, son, go get your bride. You're done. And so then the big party starts, and they go, all goes rolling through town, the news, and everybody gets excited because it's a community-wide thing. So that's exactly the way it is with Jesus. He calls himself in the Bible the bridegroom, and we, the church, are his bride. He will come and get us when his dad says it's time, you know. And I'll get into a little bit of the signs of when that time might be done, how you kind of know what you look for when it's going to be done. You know, with the guy building the thing, he can see is the place is getting a lot nicer than it was. It should be pretty ready to go. And so, that's when Jesus will be told by his Father, okay, go get your people. The time is done. You know, so what is the sign? In the Gospel of Luke passage, the apostles ask Jesus, what's going to be the sign of your coming? He gives a bunch of stuff, all the wars and tumults and all that, but none of them are actually the real. In the Gospel of Matthew, he says, when the gospel has gone out through all the world, then the end comes. And that's kind of a bit like the guy building the room for his bride. When has the gospel gone through the world enough? Only God the Father knows. We don't. We could look and say, man, there's not a lot of square miles left, you know, where people are going. But basically, the gospel reaching to people, you know, that's God the Father's time. You know, that's it. So therefore, we have the, you know, when you ask the question of when, it's a simple one in the sense of we don't know exactly when, but it's like the thief. You can't, even though these things are given to help us realize we're in the end times, you can't go, oh, Putin did this. So you go back to the book of Revelation. Now we're like, you have this like time chart or something. No, that's garbage. That's not how it works. Again, thief in the night. You don't know exactly. It could be 10 minutes from now. We don't even know. And it's not important. If it's not important for the Son of God to know exactly when it is, then it's certainly not important for us. We just to be ready. That in the Gospel of Matthew and in Luke, the big message is be ready. The people in Thessalonica, they wanted the time frame. They wanted to sit around and wait for it. But that's not God's plan for any of us to sit around, but to be busy and to be, you know, actively involved. That's the whole idea, to be ready. So, in the movies, when the end of the world was threatened, and there's been a bunch of them, I don't keep track of a lot of what movies go on these days, so I don't know what ones may have come out. Back in the day, there was a movie called The Seventh Sign. I think it had Demi Moore in it. I never saw it, so I don't know a lot. But that was what it was supposed to be about. And a movie that maybe a lot of people have seen, who are at least a little older, Ghostbusters. And that was about the end of the world, if you remember. You kind of get distracted by Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and all that, but it was about the end of the world that they had to get it together and prevent it. And so that's what in all those movies, the common thread is, you know, people got to get it together. We got to stop this. You know, the end of the world's happening. That's a bad thing. You know, we got to get some people together and they stop it. There was a movie called Independence Day, if you like to remember that one. It's kind of the same thing. Aliens invented. We got to stop this. You know, so is the end of the world a bad thing? You know, is it something to be avoided? Is it something to, boy, I hope that doesn't happen in my lifetime? You know, that kind of thing. You know, the lead up, if you read all the things that Jesus says there, if you read, I still to this day like reading the book of Revelation, even though my focus is a little different than what it is. You know, it does, you know, pictures it as being kind of tough, kind of rough, you know, in the lead up. And our times today kind of tough? Yeah, that depends on the kind of part of the world you're in. Depends on your life circumstances. Yeah, it can be. You know, the times will be tough for those who are around when that day comes. You know, and personally, I'd like to avoid persecution. I would prefer to take a pass on that. But that's not what being a Christian is all about. You know, we live life that God has placed us in. You know, we don't try to avoid it. You know, there certainly is a way to avoid it. And that's called denying Christ. You know, that is the choice that was given. All of the 11, well, all 12 of the apostles, you know, they stuck with it. And that's what Jesus was kind of telling them, getting them ready for it. You know, I'm going to leave, and this stuff's going to happen to you. It doesn't mean I'm coming just yet, but it's going to happen to you. And it did. It did happen to all. Only John was not martyred. That is, his life was not taken for his faith. He got stuck on an island, Patmos, and where he saw the revelation, but he did not get martyred in that. And the word martyred, what does that word mean? It means witness. It doesn't mean somebody who dies for the faith. It's kind of been applied that way. But God uses the death of Christians as a witness to the faith. That's really what it's all about. So yeah, he's kind of giving them a warning, but you know, it's not something. It is something that's good in the end. And we are told that in verse 28, at the very end, yeah, it says, what do you do? You know, when these things begin to play taste, what do? Hide in the basement? Start crying? No, it says, straighten up and raise your heads. Yeah, it's basically celebration. You know, be encouraged because, you know, your redemption is near. That's the whole thing. You know, it isn't something dreadful for us. It isn't something. You know, people use the word judgment day, and that is an accurate call for that. But is, you know, why isn't judgment day dreadful for us? Do we like being judged? Yes. Yeah, because we know when our judgment day was. It's already in the past. Our judgment day is Good Friday. That's when our sins were judged. And somebody died for them. You know, they had the wages of sin is death. There is no escaping that. The wages of sin is death. But the death of Christ is what... So it's important because when people... You hear them talk about the end of time. A lot of people don't worry about, quote, the end of time. They worry about the end of their life. All right? So and some say that And really, the Bible a lot of times has that thing where it kind of compresses things together. And so, yes, it really, in some ways, it's the same thing. For us, the end of our life is the end of time because it's in the end of our time in this world. And so people may not be worried about when, you know, that whatever that day is. They're just worried about themselves when that time comes for them, especially if they're in a situation where they see it's pretty imminent. Now, again, nobody really ever knows when they're going to die until it actually happens. But some people you can see is pretty coming soon. And so that can be a time that can be dreadful for people, even Christians. Not that it should be, but I'm saying it is because we have to remember how we stand. Are we, you know, is when our life is over, we're going to have this big video reel of all the stupid things we've ever done in our life? Man, it would take a while. It'd take 50 years for me to go through that. I'm still adding to it every day, you know. But that's not it. Those things have all been washed away in Christ. When Jesus, the best, really, if you really want to know about the end times, the Matthew 24 and 25 is really the best place to go. When Jesus is talking about it, he talks about the sheep and the goats. You know, there's a big throne, the judgment day. The judgment's basically already done. If you're on the sheep side, you're done. Your judgment's done. You're on the goats, so basically he's just pronouncing it to each of them. And so when he talks to the people on the right, the Christians, those who believe in him, he says, when I was sick, you visited me. When I, all these different things, they say, when did we do that for you, Jesus? When you did it for the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. So there's no condemnation. There's no, man, you guys really, you didn't really live up. And he's basically saying, you did this, you did this, you did that. Like, when did you do all these great things you're talking about? And so that's the message that they get. And so that's why it is a good news for us. So what's the point of talking about the end, especially if it's not going to be in our life? I'm assuming that it isn't. The point, and Jesus brings this up, not me. So what's the point? Basically two big things, being ready and comfort. The book of Revelation was not given to entertain teenage boys. That was not its purpose. That vision was given to St. John by Jesus to give comfort to the churches at that time. This was in the 90s when the Roman persecutions of the churches were big. And so to help the whole, I remember when I was, way back when, some people, do a Bible study in Revelation, do a Bible, and that's, and I did, and it's an interesting thing, but it can be a good or somewhat disappointing thing, disappointing from the teenage aspect, when the whole purpose of the book of Revelation, A, is not to give you a roadmap or a calendar to tick off when it's going to happen, but it's comfort, to comfort these people who are undergoing persecution. The whole point of the book of Revelation is not so much to tell you when it's going to happen, but that God's got this. He's in control. It's working it all through. Weird stuff, bad stuff happens. We can think about weird stuff, bad stuff happening yesterday in our country or our city or whatever. But God's in control. He's working it all too. Again, when he says, ding, ding, Jesus, come and get them. That's the whole point of the book of Revelation. That's the whole message of that comfort. Whenever we're in distress, whenever there's uncertainty of living in this world, and that can happen at any time, God's in control, and he has a plan in our life and in this world. Despite all the appearances to the contrary, God has it all plotted out. And so that's especially important for people, even today, to be aware of that. But now, being ready, that's what I'm going to finish on this topic, because that is the big, in Matthew's gospel, that's the words that keep getting used over and over and over. Be ready, be ready, be ready. That is, we think about at least once or twice a year, the end times, to think about how we use our lives. That's really what it's all about. Sometimes we need to think about, and that's why sometimes people, even when they're younger, get a scare about their life, because it kind of wakes them up to, whoa, what in the world am I doing with my life? That then God does, you know, bring those into people's lives sometimes. No matter what the case is, our time is limited. It's good for us to think about. I was thinking about this as I was writing this on a Saturday night because we went to a play and everything. It's like, sometimes this happens. After the weekend's over, I kind of, what in the world did I get done this week? I had all these plans. I had all those things I was going to do. And what did I do? I piddled around. I didn't get anything done, Usually my wife reminds me about that. But anyway, she has her own list, She posts it, and I don't always look at it. But anyway, that's the problem. Confession, I am a king piddler. I can waste time in so many creative ways. As a matter of fact, my wife caught me, was it yesterday or the day before, on the internet. Now, it wasn't looking at anything bad, but it was just reading something silly. It's like, what are you doing reading this? It's about somebody marrying a mobster and all you can say. I don't know if guys might lose their... But I mean, hey, it's the mob, the guy aspect. Anyway, it was just some... it was interesting, how this all took place and whatever, but did I need to be reading about it? Not really, like my boys say, you can take this and this away from me, Dad, and I can get distracted in an empty room. I'm like, that's right, you're my boy, you can. they're all up here, the distractions are all there, okay, nevertheless, empty room for you. See if you can get some homework done. But yes, that's so confession for me. I can waste time with the best of them. But that's what the end and whatever. Sometimes we need these little reminders in life. Okay, what am I doing with my time? How am I using my life? My life is not about binge watching or whatever it is that people do that waste time. Now, on the one hand, we don't have to worry about assembling our heavenly resume. Like we got to stand before God and give account for. The Bible does talk about a certain amount of account. For how we use our lives, but it's not something to be afraid of, but it's something to kind of sober us a little bit to think, how am I? God's given me this life. How am I using it? I don't exist. And we again get on my boys just because they're like me. It's like they think their life should be all about playing video games and having a good time. Can't blame them. I felt that way myself. But at some point they have to realize they got to do school. They got to live the life that God has given them, not just play it away. It's good to realize that we are here for a purpose and we are here for a limited time. The world has an expiration date. That's what we get at the end of the world. It has an expiration date. We don't know why. We can't look at it like a can of peas and see it, but it does. It has an expiration date. And so does our life. Our life has an expiration date. And again, you can't look at the label and see what our expiration is, but we need to be aware of how we use our life to be a blessing to those around us. I have a list of people that I can very easily say that I'm supposed to be a blessing to, but there's other people I don't even know that maybe God has a plan that I would touch their life in some way. And so this is really what the whole year's worth of sermons is about, is how we use our lives as God's blessings. How it's a joyful thing, not a burden. My boys kind of get on the... they come this teenager, life is all work and everything like that because they can't play all the time. But sometimes as Christians or as people, we're just big kids. And, the thought of actually doing something difficult or doing something besides what we want to do in life can kind of seem like a wet blanket for us. But it is about praying to God, God, how would you use me today? Because actually it can be kind of exciting when you see what God does through your life to other people. How can we be a blessing to other people? And one of my sons even said that. Something like, it's like, yeah, whenever I have to do something, like they went over and this one gentleman who's having heart problems, so they went over and cleaned his yard. And it's like, I really wasn't excited about doing that, but when I saw his face and everything, it was like, that was really even better than what I usually do on a Saturday morning or whatever, because he was helping somebody out, being a blessing to somebody. How would God use me to serve in this world? In little ways and big ways, and in prayer especially. It doesn't mean you have to block off 4 hours to sit and pray, but, people's names and whatever that come into my mind, and I pray for them. Just a little prayer or whatever, whatever I remember about them or challenges I know about them. So when the end comes and we're in glory with Jesus and all the rest, we will never know until then anyway how the things that we did, big things, little things we did, that we did in God's name impact somebody else for eternity. There's even a song that some 80s, whatever, where it says, because you served, and it kind of gives all these little, because you taught Sunday school, somebody says, when I was a little kid, I was in your Sunday school class, and because of that, I believed in Jesus, or because you gave money to a missionary, I learned about, so that people coming up to this person in glory and kind of saying, of all the things, that the little things that they did that they didn't even think a lot about, how it made a difference in somebody's life. And so that's the thing. That's really what being ready is all about. That making sure that we use the time that God gives us, to make a difference in this world for Him. So we may or may not be a big fan of the book of Revelation. Whatever. It's got good stuff if you realize what it's really all about. But the end of the world and the end of our lives is very important to us. We usually don't know when that's going to be. That's very true. But it is good news. Whether it's the end of our life or the end of this world, it's good news because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've heard about people who died with a smile on their face because they realized what they're going to and how exciting it really is in the end of it. Because of the resurrection of Christ, because of forgiveness, grace, mercy, all, it's an exciting thing when that time actually happens. We pray that we use each day as if it was our last day, because it could be. And that knowing what's in store for us, it's a great thing. It's a great thing to look forward to. Would give us peace and joy in our heart, whatever's going on, and a renewed sense of purpose in our lives. And that everybody needs a purpose in their life. That's very important. And God gives it to us, what God's purpose is in our lives. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, who will come again to bring us to Him. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord for steadfastness in the Word of God, which will never pass away, that in these last days we may turn our eyes from the distress of this failing world and lift them to Christ, our help and keeper. Let us pray to the Lord. For ministers of the gospel and those who hear it gladly, especially all persecuted Christians, that they may be delivered from wicked and evil men, be given a mouth and a wisdom to confess Christ boldly and to endure faithfully to the end, let us pray to the Lord. For the homes and businesses of this congregation, that according to the apostolic command, we may remain busy at work and not walk in idleness, see the fruits of our labors, and have our hearts directed to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For deliverance from fear as we witness the signs of the times, that we would make sober judgment in the face of so many vexing concerns, and for the assurance that, though the nations rage and the powers press against the church, this is our opportunity to give witness to the word that does not change and to the mercy that is our hope in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. For those in affliction, especially Annie Mae Karenick, Glenn Kreitz, Cynthia Schulten, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Katie Cates, Sandra Avia, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Jeff Schaffner, Cheryl Ballard, Dean Soberly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Papka, Bob Dittert, Don and Donna Tolner, Robert and Donna Knopf, that they may endure in the hope and raise up their heads as they await the coming of their redemption. Christ Jesus, let us pray to our Lord. For all who eat and drink the holy body and blood of Jesus, that God would give us repentant hearts to receive the forgiveness of sins and to proclaim joyfully Christ's death until He comes in glory. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as the days pass and all things move to their appointed end, keep us from being complacent. Keep us alert and awake us so that when the day comes, we may greet You and rejoice in Your eternal salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now sing our Lord's Supper song. Amen. Be seated. Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and singing. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the table of our Lord. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Now this true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace and go forth with his joy. Welcome to the table of our Lord. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith till life everlasting. Depart in his peace and go forth with his joy. Welcome to the table of our Lord. Take and eat Christ's true body, given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Now this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace and go forth with his joy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you, lift His countenance upon you, and give you His peace.
Alleluia, let praises ring. To God the Father let us bring our songs of adoration. To Him through everlasting days be worship, honor, power, and praise, whose hand sustains creation. Singing, ringing, holy, holy, God is holy, spread the story of our God, the Lord of glory. Alleluia, let praises ring. Unto the Lamb of God we sing, in whom we are elected. He bought His church with His own blood. He cleansed her in that blessed flood. And as His bride selected, holy, holy is our union and communion. His befriending gives us joy and peace unending. Alleluia, let praises ring. Unto the Holy Ghost we sing, for our regeneration, the saving faith in us He wrought, and us unto the Bridegroom brought, made us His chosen nation. Lord,
Hosanna. Alleluia. Let praises ring unto our triune God we sing. Blessed be His name forever. With angelic hosts adore and sing His praises evermore. For all His grace and favor, singing, ringing, holy, holy, God is holy. Spread the story of our God, the Lord of glory.